So this morning, as we're talking and speaking on and discussing, opening up, I guess you could call it a can, and I don't know if you want to call it a can of worms, because it really kind of, in a way, is talking about the Holy Spirit. Like, how do we discuss this person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit? We dive in. We climb high. We reach for what he's given us, and we ask him to help us along the way. Amen? So let's do that this morning as I discuss and talk and bring up this truth. It's the Holy Spirit is our true spirit guide. Our true spirit guide. He is sent to teach us, to guide us. So I just want us to just really plant ourselves in that truth that God the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you and is with you, is there to guide you and teach you along life, through life. That's really awesome in itself. If we could just stop there, stay there, and just realize that, we could leave this room better than when we came in. Because it's a point that when we understand it and realize it, it's almost as though tapping into, if you will, tapping into an account, if you want to apply it to, let's say, a bank account that doesn't run out and has resources above and beyond all over the place for everything that we're dealing with. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture. This is, we left off at this place last week. It's in John chapter 16. And we're talking about Jesus being, the Holy Spirit being our helper. And really dove into that, dug that up and dug that out. And I feel like it was a really good message that if you haven't, if you didn't hear it, didn't get it, we do have a podcast station. It's called The Salt Mine Church. It's really simple. It's already up on the podcast. Noel gets them up usually within the beginning of the week, along with all of our Bible studies. They're all on there too. You can go back, and there's really hundreds of messages on that podcast you can choose to listen to if you'd like. every now and then I go back and listen to it just to hear how silly my voice sounds. Be like, oh, I don't know how to correct that, but that's okay. It's how it is. So John chapter 16, starting in verse 12 and through 15 in the ESV version, Jesus is going on. This is the last days of his life here on earth as he's spending time with his disciples. So he's given them some final instructions, and he says this. And this is probably one of the best instructions that he gives them still. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's impressive. It's an understanding that here's Jesus, you know, if you want to put him in a number, 1, 2, 3 of the Godhead, please forgive me for doing it, but he's number 2 in the Godhead, if that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's just how we say it. 2 and how we say it. Not in priority, not in importance, not in roles, but He's giving us an understanding of the working of the Godhead, the entirety of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, the Trinity. And I love it because he's letting us in on a heavenly truth, something that he's letting us see. He's giving us a depiction, a story of that which is for us to know. And I like this. I like this a whole lot because when Jesus says, here's what it's like in heaven, here's what it's like in the kingdom, we need to really tune in because he knows. He knows 100%, and he doesn't lie. He doesn't make stuff up. He's accurate. He's truthful. He's faithful. He speaks that which we are needing to know and to help us understand. And that's excellent, right? That's excellent for us. It's good for us. And even, I mean, when we discuss the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit as our helper, which he's convincing the world of their need for Jesus, and us aligning ourselves with his will, he, the Holy Spirit, commissioning us to perform his will on earth as it is in heaven. And we need the Holy Spirit's help. And we refer to him as the Lord of the harvest. And he's the one that convinces others, anybody, everyone, whosoever, the need for Jesus. Amen? By convicting, we use the word convicting of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And then he goes on and he takes it to this other, it's almost like he took a quick turn and said, and now he's here. He's going to teach you things that I can't even tell you now. I can't show you now. There's too much because you just won't get it. You know, it's if you can kind of relate it to a father, you know, has a younger son, like, hey, there's going to be one day that you're going to learn some things, and you need to understand some things that you don't understand now because you're just a child. You're young. You're gonna need to understand how to be a man, be an adult, love a woman, love a wife, raise children. He's saying those are things for the future. Those are things for you to see and understand ahead in due time. But right now, here's what you got to focus on. I'm going to die. They're going to crucify me, but I'm going to raise again. I'm going to come back to life. Know this. Know this. Watch, and you will see it happen. They'll destroy this temple, my body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And then I will go to the Father. And when I return, I'm going to ascend to the Father, and then the Holy Spirit will come. And then God talks about many times he refers to him returning again. So he's telling us all these things that they're like, wait, what? Just stay here and hang out with this. This is really cool. We like it. Amen? Have you ever heard the statement or even thought these words? I guess that's the only way to, we only think in words, right? Boy, that was a little, I don't know where my brain went with that, but have you ever thought the thoughts of, boy, if Jesus were just here, like right now, right here, right now in the flesh, man, and he could just talk to me and he could tell me and he could teach me and he could show me stuff, show me how to do this, how to do that. Man, it'd be so much easier to be a Christian. Hello? But that's not what Jesus said. He said, it's better for you that I go so that you have an indwelling helper to teach you and guide you in all truth. Like he basically was saying it this way, I am just a man like you. I'm God in the flesh, but I'm still just a one mouthpiece. And only when you are in my presence do you hear me speak. Do you hear me teach? But the Holy Spirit, the helper, the guide, the teacher, he's going to be with you and in you always. That's better, right? I mean, no, it's hard to grasp. It's maybe a little easier for us because we didn't spend physical time with Jesus. But for them, it was difficult. It was challenging. They didn't really get it. So he had to really kind of pound it into them. So when Jesus proceeds to tell his disciples that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, what is actually being said is there's the wording of all truth that I want to kind of highlight for a minute, because what he's saying is the Holy Spirit will unveil, expose, bring to light the reality of the truth that is inside of you. Did you hear me on that? Please receive that and understand, or at least try to get that into what is true. See, the Holy Spirit inside of you is going to unveil, uncover, expose, bring to light. It's the word in that is actually used in All Truth is a word that is real reality. Hello? That's what he's saying, is that truth that he's referring to is real reality. And that's what he says, that he will guide us and teach us into real reality. Amen? We live in a day and age, in a culture, you could call it, our entire system is based on things that we see on a screen. That I'm going to tell you, if I don't want to break the news to you, if you don't realize this or not, it's not real reality. Stuff you see on social media, even the news, a TV screen, is not necessarily, probably 99.999% of the time, not real reality. Amen. It's stuff that people are showing you that they want you to see. Hello? Somebody's life on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram is not real reality. Amen. We need to really understand that. Like, because when you watch it, you get sucked into, like, wow, did you see that they're doing this? Like, are they really? Are they really? Is it real? I mean, I'm not talking about using, like, CG and stuff. I'm talking about just they're only showing us what they want us to see. Hello? Wouldn't that be nice if you could just walk around this planet and only let people see what you want them to see? Jurassic Park is like a good one. That's like one of my favorite movies that I hate to watch, but I have to watch. I don't know why I do it to myself, but I want to see dinosaurs eat people, even though it's the biggest fear of my life. Like, the thing I fear most is being eaten by a dinosaur, and I have to watch dinosaurs eat people. I'm sick in the head. I need help. I can't explain it. I'm pretty sure a dinosaur has not eaten a person in our lifetime. It's called CGI. They made it up. Anyway, if there's anything, I don't know. There's a guy on, I don't know if he's, I think it's on Instagram. It's funny. I don't know what his name is. He's a guy that says, I hope that helps. But all he does is expose all the images that are out there on social media that are really just people making stuff up. And it's quite funny, because like a lot of things that we see are like just like, okay, that's not real. Anyway, so let's move on. I don't even know where I'm at. Okay. So what is being said is that the Holy Spirit, it will unveil, expose, bring to light the reality of the truth that is inside of you. So, how does that work? That's a great question from the back. I heard you. Thank you. I really appreciate you asking that. How does that work? First, let's go over this subject. It's extremely important that we know and believe that God, the Holy Spirit, is living inside of you. And he, as God, knows all that is God. Because he is God. Amen? His mind, thoughts, his heart, emotions of God, his will, God's purposes. God, the Holy Spirit, knows all that. Because he is God. So the bottom line is that God, the Holy Spirit, knows everything about everything. That's pretty cool. And he's inside of you. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever realize that? Do you ever even ponder that? Like, God, who knows everything about everything, lives inside of me. Always. Always. And he is always, yes, always, looking to teach you and guide you into all truth. Please note and please know that that is a really good thing. I know it can seem like he's all up in your business on a regular basis. Amen? Well,
some of us need that.
Yeah. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. The Bible speaks of us grieving the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Which you could say another way is making him sad, upsetting him. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The Bible also speaks of us quenching the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, simple phrase, "Do not quench the Spirit." And as you can see, I want us to understand and see this very clearly. Both of those moves of grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit are on who? Me, us, you, I. Right? They're not on God. They're on us. They're on us. So if you were to ask me how we do that, oh, that's a really good question again. Thanks, Carson, for asking that. I appreciate that. How do we do that? How do we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit? How does that take place? I'm going to break it down super simple. And I know that it could go into deeper areas, into different places. We quench the Holy Spirit by shutting him up. Shutting him up. You can shut the Holy Spirit up or shush him, if you want to say it that way. Ignore him. We grieve the Holy Spirit by disobeying him when he gives us clear direction and we just go the opposite way. That grieves him. That saddens him. Remember, God the Holy Spirit is a person, and he's the personable, relational part of Godhead that has that intimate relationship with us, that is so close to us, he's inside of us. And yes, we could delve into areas of, you know, willing and continuous sin that grieves the Holy Spirit. Basically, that's disobeying him, because it all falls into that. Shutting him up is to just simply ignore him. And we could shut him up many different ways. We could shut him up doctrinally to say, oh, he doesn't exist. He doesn't do that anymore. That was for that day and not this day. That was for another time and another people. That's for those weirdos that are go over there to that weird church. And I don't want to be a weirdo, so I'm not going to buy into all that stuff. Basically, here's the word of wisdom. Don't ghost the Holy Ghost. Because he is God inside of you, speaking to you, looking to teach you, guide you, and direct you. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think I'm going to run out of water, so I'm going to get through this. Three primary ways in which the Holy Spirit guides you and I into all truth. The first is this, and this is the obvious one, right? You guys with me on this? You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Still with me. Okay, good. Is his word the Bible, right? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Amen. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, believer's instructions before leaving earth, right? His word spoken and given to us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this. Is everybody okay, Britt? Oh, you're going to go find out. Yeah. We don't know where Trent went. Yeah. That's awesome. It's like, I think so. All scripture is breathed by God, breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Do you hear what he's saying there? Is that all scripture is breathed by God. And therefore it's, oh, well, thank you, sir.
That's appreciate it. Of the Holy Spirit there.
Yeah. Seriously, that's fantastic.
The Lord and
every man there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when we really break it down and we just simply get into the nuts and bolts of God directing us and teaching us and guiding us, you know, he uses the word of God that is inspired by the Holy Spirit and therefore uses the words of the Bible, the truths of the Bible, the stories of the Bible, the parables of the Bible, the principles and concepts of the Bible to teach us, to guide us into true reality. Into true reality. So therefore, as you can even start seeing this, you start seeing that quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit is to disregard God's word or to basically leave it out of the equation. We can ignore it, not learn it, not listen to it, not read it, not study it, not get it, not delve into it. And you know what? You could read the Bible, and if you're not a good reader, you could listen to the Bible. You could hear the word. You could read the word. It's available. And maybe, I don't want to use this as like a form of manipulation or just even like, but I just would like us to consider maybe one thing. Throughout our day, throughout our week. Throughout our week. Let's sum it up in a week, okay? A week is just 7 days, right? What, 128 hours or something like that? I can't remember exactly, but I think it's something to that effect. If you get into your Bible digitally, like let's say through the Bible app, I'm going to challenge you to do something. Go through the timeline of where you spend most of your time. You can look that up in your own system. Is it on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, maybe a news channel? How much time? You can look it up and see where you spend in that Bible. I'd like to just encourage us. This is just to encourage us to spend time in his word. Like I said, you could read it. You could listen to it. Because Hebrews says it like this. Hebrews refers to the word of God being alive and active. Alive and active. It's not just a book, even a device. God's word is alive and active. Really think of God's word as alive and active. Alive and active. Like yogurt. Yogurt's a weird thing, isn't it? It's got live cultures in it. That's freaky to me when I think of eating something that's alive still. I mean, it's not moving around or doing anything, but think of, I know that's a weird thing if Juliet were in the room, be like, yeah, she loves yogurt. She eats like 3 or 4 a day, these yogurt things, but I don't know, she's going to turn into a big like blob of yogurt one day, but that's okay. Maybe she'll be way more healthy, have better stomach issues than the rest of us, but God's word is alive and active. And then in Hebrews chapter, I think it's in chapter 4, is it 4 or 3 that he refers to? It's 4:12, I believe. 4:12. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. And it says it's sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating our heart, our mind, with a purpose to separate, to divide truth from lies. Wow. Think about that. Just think about that. If God the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of me. God the Holy Spirit is capable, if we align ourselves and we give him the opportunity to do it, to come into this space in my heart and mind and help me discern and divide truth from lies, to teach me, to guide me, to help me understand, to assist me in, because there's so much out there right now. And there's so much in here that goes swirly-whirly on a regular basis. And I need God, the Holy Spirit, to take his word and penetrate like a double-edged sword, he says, sharper than a double-edged sword. And in fact, the wording that is used in that reference to a sword is like almost like a flaming sword. a flaming sword that's able, that has the ability, if you want to think of it as like a laser that has the ability to cut through anything. That's awesome to think about. Because to stop and think about that, that it's his word that has the ability to penetrate the hardest of hearts, the most confusing of minds, the most disruptive of souls, get in and penetrate and divide truth from lies. Amen?
Amen.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. I don't know how to say it, but that's just awesome. Amen? Hallelujah. So the second basic or principle in which the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us, which, hold on a second, I think I need to do something right here, right now. Because this is what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say is to stop and really challenge each and every one of us in the room. And when I say challenge, I mean to just really just reflect and just consider something that each and every one of us in the room need to consider. And I'm going to ask a question, and this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me. Ask a question. Does the Word of God, is the Word of God alive to you? I was going to ask you not to answer. Just to answer within yourself. Because what I want to ask then is the next question is if God's Word is not alive to you, then His Spirit is not alive in you. And if His Spirit is not alive in you, that means you need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You need to be born again. Because the only way that the Word of God comes alive to you is that you are born again by the Spirit of God inside of you. If the Word of God is, and I'm not talking about like, because God's Word, the Bible, is confusing in a lot of places. I'm just talking about at any given point, at any given time, His word has never become life to you, never become the bread, that which I eat and that which I need and that which I need to live off of. If His word is just a book that we talk about, that the preacher preaches about, but doesn't really have any bearing or meaning or impact on my life, then this is the challenge, and this is where I'm going to ask you, is then you need to be born again. So I'm going to give everybody right now an opportunity, if God's word isn't alive to you, to be born again, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, to receive Him into your life, to say yes to Him, that He died on the cross for my sins, He paid the price for me, and that He rose again on the third day, and that He's coming back to receive me as His own. And it's a prayer that we make and just saying yes. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again. And I believe that you are true. You are God in the flesh, and you are going to return to receive me as your child. And see what takes place there when we really believe that, and we say that, and we mean that, and we do that, we make that move to be born again. See, His voice then. And this is the second way that He speaks to us and guides us. His voice then becomes loud. His voice then becomes clear. His voice then speaks to us. In John 10:3, it says this, and this is why he says this, to him the gatekeeper opens. In other words, that's to you, to one of us that have said yes. And the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you hear that, what He says there? His voice. We hear His voice. He calls us by name. And we follow. But you got to know Him as Lord. You got to enter through the gate, because that's what he said he's referring to in John chapter 10. He is the gate. He is the door. No one comes into the pen other than coming in through me. It's the only way in. And when you come in, you're my sheep. And when you're my sheep, you hear my voice. I am the good shepherd. And he goes into talking about he brings truth and life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he even refers to, and he makes a reference to the enemy, the devil, who only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, God still has a voice. God still has a voice. So you might ask, and I heard the question again. You ask, how do I recognize the voice of God? That's a really good question from up front here. Appreciate that. You guys are really coming up with some really great questions. You're on point, man. You're paying attention. When the Holy Spirit sees, so I'm going to explain it. This is really cool. It's going to be super simple. So I don't want us to get like really digging deep in our heads. Just this is a simple explanation. So don't go deep just yet. When the Holy Spirit sees the need to speak to you, you listening? When the Holy Spirit sees and notices a need to speak to you, this is good. He communicates with your born-again spirit. And from there, the communication goes to your mind. So you're not very likely to hear an audible voice. Most often, the voice comes as a thought. Hello? So it's easy to question whether the thought is your own or from God. And here's what I believe, and this is something I believe very strongly. Everyone grows differently in recognizing and discerning his voice from your own thoughts. That's why even when I know there's many good studies and many good books on how to recognize the voice of God, the dilemma is we all come from different places. And it's not a dilemma, but we must recognize it real quick. Like myself, I'm going to use a couple of examples. Well, I'll use some examples from Scripture. I'll use some other people and then myself. Paul was a man who thought he was obeying God and hearing from God, when all along he was following a religious regime that was sent out to murder Christians and followers of Jesus. And it wasn't until he had an experience with Jesus himself that then he was able to recognize that Jesus, who he was condemning, is the Jesus who is God, who is now speaking to him as God. He had to go off into the wilderness for 3 years to hear and recognize Jesus' voice, because there was so much confusion and clouded distortion from religious regime that he needed to spend time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit himself so that he could recognize that voice. Basically, he had to rehash all of Scripture and say, okay, this is where it was pointing to Jesus. So he had to for him to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice was way different than Peter. Way different than, because Peter spent time with Jesus and was able to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice right away. Right away, remember? I mean, he was the first one that preached the Pentecost message, powered by the Holy Spirit. That's pretty right away, isn't it? The Holy Spirit came, Peter, well, whoo, he was speaking it. That's awesome. Paul had to spend 3 years in the desert before he was able to preach. Hello? Me, myself, I didn't grow up in the church. I'd never heard anything about this Jesus other than, like, I think he's like this person that died for me or something. I don't know. It wasn't until I was like, you know, in my late teenage years that I had an experience with Jesus himself, an encounter. And right away, instantly, like that evening, that night, God, the Holy Spirit, started speaking to me. And so therefore, I was able to recognize very quickly and precisely the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, in my life. Now, that doesn't happen with everything. Now, I have people like my wife and my children. They grew up in a good, solid, foundational, Christian, God-fearing, Holy Spirit-believing, Jesus-loving church and family. To where it was all the time. Do you hear what I'm saying here? Now, their thoughts and God's thoughts were so intermingled with each other, it's like there's this constant intermingling because it was constantly there. Hello? So for them, even distinguishing between their thoughts and God's thoughts is even a little trickier. Because it was so ingrained in them, the thoughts of God. See, to me, it was so obvious that these thoughts that I was having that were from God were not my own. Because I'd never had thoughts like that. Like, to forgive people? Like, I never thought of that. I thought about punching people. So when God said, forgive them, I was like, oh, that must be from you. Because I'd like to punch them. Hello? And so I want us to understand that it's very clearly that hearing those in, you know, so when I get up here and I even say, like, here's what the Holy Spirit's saying. Granted, I've trained my mind, my heart, my soul to hear God that way, to hear His voice, to know His thoughts. And maybe because I did live, and I think that's the case with, I think, a lot of those that have lived a life of like, yeah, that's, I got a testimony of God's grace that's pretty awesome. Or it's a little easier to hear God's thoughts because they're so opposite and contrary to their own. Can anybody else testify to that? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I'll just raise my hand by myself. And I don't think I'm wrong in that. I think that's, but it's something that we need to understand. So someone says, oh, this is how you hear from God. I think there's the growing process is different for each of us. So pay attention to, get into the Word, read the Bible, hear the Bible, and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you. Here's what's beautiful. I mean, extremely beautiful and really awesome. If you ask Him to help you to hear His voice, He wants to help you. Hello? Come on, brothers and sisters. We need that help, and that's a good help. Amen? Amen. 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 You know, as George said, is we're called to test the spirits to see if they are from God or not from God. And His word is always going to back up, confirm the Holy Spirit's voice when He speaks it to you. Now, you know, we do also have to understand when they say back up and can be confirmed, there's things that's why it's important to understand principles and concepts of the word. Because sometimes there's not a direct like wording that says don't do this or don't do that. But there's a principle that is overarching that we need to say that, yeah, that's like as far as like a job to go do that, you know, or a person to marry, you know, those things are, or, you know, and I've heard people say, well, God's telling me to divorce my wife. And I'm telling you straight up that that's not God. They just want it to be God so that they could do what they say and rubber stamp God's approval on it or do what they want to do. Because God tells us contrary to that. Hello? I mean, I know that's a simple and a super easy one to bring up, but it's important to understand principles and concepts. This is why I'm getting it. Okay, let's go into the next. I believe this is really good. You guys with me still? Okay. Am I helping you or confusing you? Okay, four of you. That's good. I'll take four. Five? Oh, good. Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you over there. So as we, again, look into these primary ways in which the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And this is what's super cool. And I'm just going to share this because I didn't even have a scripture to back it up other than the entire scriptures. Is God the Holy Spirit will teach and guide you using others. Amen? It's why we gather together on a Sunday morning to encourage one another. It's why we have Bible studies for men and women in different aspects. It's why we have a Bible study on a Tuesday night. It's to help us understand what God is saying to us, to guide us and to teach us. Amen? Is there anybody in the room that wants to argue that point? Using a verse in the Bible that you can actually take out of context. You want me to do it for you?
There's this verse, Eric, in the Bible that I heard. It's Jeremiah 31, I think, somewhere in there. It says that God's going to do a new thing and this new covenant thing. You know, it says he's going to be his God and we're going to be his people. And no longer will a man have to say to a man, and no longer will it say, or have, we'll have to have a man teach us. He'll just say, we'll all know God.
Does that sound pretty cool? No, that was irritating, right? Sorry. That passage in Jeremiah 31 is totally out of context because the highlight, the main point in what he's talking about there is the new covenant is a personal relationship between you and God. You and God. No longer can I say, you go have a personal relationship with God right now. Yeah, look, he's going to look at me like, huh? Like, you're telling me to, like, that's my relationship with God. That's what he's referring to. That's what he's referring to. We need help, right? We need help in understanding scripture. We need help in being, because the Bible is full of these stories and full of examples, even in our own selves. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times God, the Holy Spirit, used one of you to stop me in my tracks or to get me to think about something a lot differently than how I was thinking about it. Yes, the person I live with on a regular basis, God uses that person all the time. Amen. But even like my buddy here, David Holder, he'll tell you, it's one of the best stories that I go to. It's a funny one because I don't know where he was coming from and I don't know where I was coming from, but we just clashed like right in the middle of somewhere in life and it was in this situation. I can't tell you even what it was because I don't remember. All I know is I was coming at him hardcore and I was coming at him with everything I got. Like my chest was puffed out and I think my fists were pumped and I was going to clock him one time because I think he deserved it and he needed it and somebody needed to tell him and show him and teach him something that he was doing wrong. And he just looked at me and he goes, dude, why are you so coarse? And God used those words like that. In an instant, and the Holy Spirit took those words and just humbled me right there in his presence. And I just apologized, I'm so sorry. I don't know, there must be something going on that I just don't even realize, but God used that man, a person, to teach me something. I don't have to come out at everybody so harsh. And I'm still learning that one. Amen? Well, you don't have to get agreed too much. I mean, that's. I am learning it, though. I know what you meant. I know. God uses others to teach us and guide us. God, the Holy Spirit, will use somebody else's words, somebody else's demeanor to encourage us, to bless us, to teach us, to show us. Hallelujah. Come on, that's good stuff. So when we to quench or even grieve the Holy Spirit in that is now, okay, I'm going to just pull away and seclude myself. See, the farther I get from you, the less that God can use you in my life. Amen? Well, no, Amen. No. We're not supposed to be about that. We're supposed to be, that's why it's challenging sometimes to just, let's get close. And let's get up in each other's grill a little bit. Well, maybe not. I don't know if I want to encourage that. Like, yeah, that's good. Okay. God loves to bless his children. This is something Robin and I were talking about, or she was sharing with me. And as this concept started to really like dig into my spirit, just plant itself there, it's this principal truth that God loves to bless his children with hidden treasures for us to find. Amen? That's a good word. I think it was Bill Johnson that spoke it, and she heard it, and then I listened to it. I was like, oh, that's a good word. And there's a whole entire chapter in the Bible that it's referring to, or that principle is referring to. So I'm going to read it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've got to go to my Bible here real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when I read this in all the translations that I prefer to read, I found that, so let me read this out of the Passion Translation. It's only 16 verses, so let me read it. And then we'll be finishing up, so I promise we're almost there. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and he says, "My brothers and sisters, when I first came to proclaim to you the secrets of God, I refused to come as an expert trying to impress you with my eloquent speech and lofty wisdom. For while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus, the crucified Messiah. I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with reverence for God, and trembling under the sense of the importance of my words. The message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of the age who are in the process of being dethroned." Ooh, just think about that. Like, have you ever read that before? Right now, they're still in the process of being dethroned. All that it seems to be in power, God is working on dethroning them. Okay, verse 7. "Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery." In a mystery. That word mystery is spoken 28 times in the New Testament. That should say something. Correct? That word mystery is that God is really enjoying, if I could say this, I'm going to say it again and say it in a way that to emphasize it. It's as though I picture sometimes, this is how I picture God the Father, a good dad, hiding these wonderful trinkets and toys and treasures in his garden. And he says, now go find a treasure. And we got to search and we got to seek and we got to dig and we got to work at finding this treasure. And when we do, he's like, "Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad you found that one. Now that one is going to lead to another one. And when you get to that next one, it's going to help you find the next one." And I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You're going to love it when you find the one I hid for you that is a gem. God like takes delight in that. If you could think about as a good father taking delight watching his children just seek out treasures that the father has hidden. I mean, just think about it. I mean, we like to hide eggs for our kids, right? At Easter time, right? That's fun. These are real life treasures. Not eggs filled with candy or so. This is awesome what God's doing. Yes, brother. He is our full payment. I love that. Anyway, that's a good word. Propitiation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus is that. So, okay, where did I leave off? Mystery. It is his secret plan destined before the ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. This is why the scriptures say,
things never discovered or heard before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. Another translations, you might remember it, recall it saying, all the things that you can ask or imagine, he has hidden for us, and he's given to us that, and he's going to give to us above what we can ask or imagine. And it's awesome. So verse 10 goes on, and he says, but God now unveils these profound realities. Do you hear that? God, the Holy Spirit, unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. Are you hearing what this is saying? This is rich. This is deep. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God, for his thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his spirit, the Spirit of God. Oh, and he lives inside you. Don't forget it. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Someone living on an entirely human level, in other words, in the flesh, rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions, or the mind of Christ. Amen? That was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 16. I know, I agree. So let's, if we can get the worship team to come up here, because I'm just going to finish up and then we're going to pray. I'm just going to reiterate and just, if I can excitedly get us excited about an amazing privilege that we have. It's the Holy Spirit with you and in you to teach you, to guide you, to help you. Boy, I mean, just think about it. Just let that just sink in and let that just bask in that truth. It's a privilege that God gives to those that believe in him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you for, we thank you for this awesome privilege that you've given to us, your children. An awesome privilege of having you dwell right inside of us. Never leaving, never forsaking, always there with us, always there for us. Looking to teach us, looking to guide us, looking to help us. We thank you. So Lord, we're just going to ask and we're going to come to you right now. And I know I am, and I'm going to ask everybody to join me in this prayer. Lord, keep me from quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit's work in my life. Help me not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit's work in my life. Help me to understand your words as you speak them to me. Help me to recognize your voice as you speak to me. Help me to live and walk as you would live and walk. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May this life that you've given me to live bring glory and honor to you. May this life
by your grace, by your power, bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' holy and precious name.